0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stevie Clark does have Scotland ambitions, but he doesn't know when, as Neil Lennon distances himself from the job. Steven Gerrard says he won't be making the same tangible reach predictions as Dave King. And Derek McInnes is cited by the Scottish FA for his hand in sending off. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Little and Hugh Keevans.
Neil Lennon knows he's not the right fit for the Scotland job. Steve Clark thinks he could be the right fit, but he's just not sure when. Can I just ask one thing? 29 days elapsed from the defeat to Kazakhstan to the announcement of Alec McLeish's departure from the Scotland job. Couldn't the SFA have had Plan B in place to coincide with the announcement that Plan A had failed? There is no end to their inefficiency. At this rate, I will get the job, and you won't like that.
Andy Little, you were booked earlier in the week, but it's almost as if we just decided to get our one non-Scottish pundit in just to tell us what it's really like to be a small footballing nation who can punch above its weight when you get the right man in charge.
Well, that's it, I suppose. That's the side I can bring towards it. But you know, I think you look at Wales, Chris Coleman getting to the semi-finals of the Euros. You look at Michael O'Neill, what he did with bringing Northern Ireland for the first time in 40 odd years to a major tournament. Those are the kind of men that I think Scotland need to look to next.
The number you need tonight is 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. I know it's the holiday weekend, I know it's sunny, but you can take your radio outside, your smartphone, whatever it is. Hugh Keevans has joined the 21st century. He's been bragging about getting a television in his bedroom this afternoon for the first time.
Well, at that.
So if he can do it, you can take your radio outside and give us a call. 0141 951 1025. And we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. What do you make of how it's all played out, Hugh Keevans?
Very, very depressing. Alec, unfortunately, wasn't doing a good enough job. 7 defeats in 12 matches in his second term as Scotland manager told you the bald truth of the matter. So that's okay. He's a great man, decent man, but he wasn't doing the job, and managers get the sack. That's the nature of the business. What annoys me, Gordon, is that this announcement was made via an online statement from the SFA. The press were gathered in the third floor of Hampden Park. The SFA are situated on the fifth floor of Hampden Park. Couldn't the president, Alan McRae, or the president-elect, Rod Petrie, or the chief executive of the SFA, Ian Maxwell, who were all in the building, couldn't one of them have come down and had the courtesy to explain what was going on with the national team? And I repeat, if you've had 29 days since the defeat from Kazakhstan, the so-called worst result in Scotland's history, surely you could have made progress, serious progress, so that on the day you say, regretfully, Alec is no longer in the job, you can also say, here is his successor. But they just seem incapable of doing anything right.
Andy Little, maybe we are blinded by emotion on this, I don't know. As a relative outsider, what did you make of the decision? Did it feel like it was too soon, or did it feel like it was the right thing to do?
Yeah, well, I suppose, as Hugh says, a month. Why does it take a month? There were rumours a month ago, soon after that pretty disappointing, although he did win his last game and was on course to... you know, he still has would have had a chance to bring them forward. But yeah, you wonder why it's taken so long. I think it's maybe, I know Hugh's saying, could you bring someone in immediately, appoint immediately? But I suppose out of respect, you maybe need to give it a couple of days just to let, I don't know, you know, us talk about it. And maybe maybe the start of next week, for all we know, there might be someone ready. But it does seem a bit of a mess from looking from the outside. I think what you need is a young manager who immediately sort of commands the respect of the player. I think he needs to be current. I think he needs to be someone who's managing right now. And if you look at the two obvious candidates that I think it's Derek McInnes and Steve Clark, you know, current managers on form. And I also think that they will unite the country. And that's the problem maybe where Alec McLeish didn't unite the country.
Andy, you could hit the middle ground in football, as in all things. You could have said, look, Malky Mackay and or Scott Gemmell will take charge for the game against Cyprus and the one that follows immediately after against Belgium, and then come up with your plan B, the official plan B. But the announced Alec McLeish is going. No one has the courtesy to come and face the cameras, the microphones, or the newspapers. And they have apparently no firm plan in place, either on a short term or long term basis.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you right now with your suggestions as to who the next Scotland manager should be. And also listen to this from Stevie Clark. Read into his comments. What do you think? Do you think he fancies it? He says he would like to manage Scotland at some stage, but refused to comment on whether it would be now or later. He says he's got no reason to think he would be approached because he wasn't the last time, and he also thinks he does have unfinished business in England. Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025.
Yeah, at some stage. Whether it's now or not is a matter for you guys to talk about and speculate. I'm fully focused on finishing the season well here at Kilmarnock. I don't speculate. There's no point in doing that. I know how football works. First of all, I have to say I'm sad for Alex. I think he's a good man, very enthusiastic about the job. He was down here 4 weeks ago, I think, and I had a good chat with him, and he had big hopes for the future, and it just shows you how short-term football can be sometimes. I've got nothing to say whether they get in touch or whether they don't get in touch. It'll be down to them. They'll do their due diligence. They'll get together a list of candidates, and then they have to decide what to do. It's not that long ago since the Scotland job was available. They didn't speak to me then, so I've got no reason to think they'll speak now. I feel as though I've got unfinished business in English football, so I'd love another crack at it. Whether it's this season, next season, or the season after, I don't know. But I would like to have another stab at English football, yeah.
In an ideal world, would you prefer the day-to-day of club football to international management?
At this moment in time, probably.
Okay, analyse that, Hugh Keevans. If he's offered it now, do you think he would take it?
I think his main priority is a club job in England. I don't think he can be any more specific. He feels he has unfinished business down south, and I think that is his top priority, even over the Scotland job. However, he has been linked with Fulham, but should no offer come from Fulham or anybody else, then I do believe that he would be a good fit for Scotland. He could live in England. He's drawn attention to the fact that he misses children and grandchildren. I can perfectly understand that. But he can live in England and manage Scotland. Gordon Strachan did it. Alec McLeish did it. So if all else fails, he would be a good fit for Scotland. But in his heart of hearts, he wants a club job in England.
I think that's true, Andy, but he didn't sound completely against the idea.
Yeah, I think he wants it. He doesn't say no. He also had a little dig saying that he wasn't even contacted the last time. I think, you know, it's probably a question of timing for him, and he knows that. It's that time of the season, isn't it? Everyone's looking now to next season. Clubs in England, especially given there's a lot more clubs that are settled, they know their budget for next season, they will be looking around about now. He'll want to, out of respect to Kilmarnock, see that one out. But he also knows that only a couple of weeks after the last game of the season in Scotland, they've a couple of internationals. And I think it's down to a question of timing. If Scotland come calling before Fulham or the likes, I think he'll take the Scotland job. If Fulham come calling, then he can even use that as a negotiating thing. I've got the Scotland job. You're going to have to break the bank here to get me.
Let's get to the phones then. John, what do you think of it?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Can I speak to Hugh Keevans, please?
Yeah, he's listening.
Hugh, we disagree with a lot of things, me and you, but I have a lot of respect for you. I really do think we went through a lot of avenues for Scotland. You know, the old heads, the experienced heads. We've even had, you know, other managers from other countries. I think it's important now, Hugh, that we really consider a younger head, you know, where I'm not saying that the players disrespect older managers. Alex McLeish had a CV that you can't mess with. But I think it's got to the stage in Scotland where we have to really think about a younger manager. Now, I just heard there, like Steve Clark, obviously not, you know, interested, but he's interested more than, you know, full-time football. The Aberdeen manager, to be honest, guys, I think that would be perfect.
Well, Derek McInnes would have to be consulted and see how it fitted in with his career plans. The problem you have with younger managers, for example, Alec Neil, fine manager, done a good job down south, did a good job up here with Hamilton Accies on next to nothing. But Alec Neil might see his immediate future in club football.
We just signed a new long deal with Preston,
yeah,
didn't he?
So to see how far it can take them, Gordon. You know, Preston, although he signed a long term deal, if something bigger came up, he'd consider it and take it. So it's not a problem. It's their career, and they have to manage their career as they see fit. But it becomes a problem for the SFA because younger managers have club aspirations. Derek McInnes perhaps falls into a middle ground where he's had years in club management, both north and south of the border, and he may feel that at this stage in his life, Scotland would be a good fit for him. Perhaps Aberdeen will be approached. But younger managers, yes, in a utopian world, yeah, that would be great. But a lot of them regard international football as a job for older men because it doesn't offer the day-to-day involvement with players.
Having said that, Andy, I wonder if you could make the case for, well, and I'm just using these names as examples, so whether it is Stevie Clark or whether it's Derek McInnes, if they were to decide to accept the Scotland job, should they be offered it, surely that doesn't mean that their club careers are over. I mean, surely they have done enough in their club careers to build up a reputation that would survive even a difficult spell as a Scotland boss.
Yeah, I think any manager that looks at it, you know, we talk about Alec Neil. For me, I think Alec Neil is he'd be newer to management than both Derek McInnes and Steve Clark. So I think he will be in the club management for a bit longer. But yes, those two that we're talking of, it might just be about the right time. I think they are the right age. That's the bracket. I don't know if it really matters about, but no, I think it does. It does matter about age. I think that's actually the key thing. I think you need to be current. You need to be managing currently. I think young players, there's a real lack of respect, I think, for Alec McLeish. You know, the amount of call-offs that the players made, I think it needs to be someone with who the players just automatically respect, but also who sort of brings a fresh and a younger vibe to the camp.
Hugh, I would never try and second guess those who are making the decisions, but Stevie Clark did throw that one in there, as Andy says. You know, I wasn't contacted the last time. Surely, at the very least, they ask the question this time. Can you see any way that Stevie Clark doesn't get asked the question?
I have to say, I have absolutely no confidence in the SFA to do the right thing. You're right to say surely, but they do not instill confidence in anyone. And that's why interest in the national side is on the wane. But if you're drawing up in your head a list of those who ought to be spoken to, then clearly Steve Clark is on that list without question.
John on Twitter, Tony says, get Slaven Bilic in. I want him at Celtic, but Scotland will do. How would that type of appointment sit with you, John?
To be honest, guys, it's got to the stage now that I'm bored with Scotland. You can fling loads of names all night. For me, I think it's really important for old people like me and Hugh. That, 1998 was the last time we qualified. I just feel right now, if we don't go for a younger manager, as you just said there, guys, a younger manager will have obviously wanting to go in full-time football, but you can also make your name in Scotland. What I'm saying is, if we don't do something now, and I know the SFA have got a lot to do with the problems of Celtic. They're not getting off with it. But if we don't do something soon, we might as well just play darts.
Well, the thing is, before we get hung up on the question of age, like players, managers can only be judged by one thing, ability. You can be a very, very good manager and be in your 60s. Or a very, very good manager in your 40s. But the age, what's on your birth certificate, is not as important as the ability that you have to get the most out of players.
The feeling you get, though, and Andy says it as well, you know, the impression you get, Hugh, is that people would buy into a fresher appointment, if you can call it that. Is that fair? We'll never all agree on a name, but I think most people agree they'd like to see a fresher appointment.
The one reason that Alec McLeish started off at a severe disadvantage was that Alan McRae could not help himself. He made it sound as if the old Pals Act had brought Alec in. He waffled on about being on Alex's testimonial committee when he was an Aberdeen player. He did him no favours at all. And it created a mindset where the supporters were concerned that the SFA were less intent on doing due diligence and finding the right guy than they were on just get him in. He's a pal of the president's. So, yes, a fresh approach. But I don't care about nationality. I know Neil Lennon has said a Scot, but that's not important. Nationality is not a burning issue, and neither is age. It's ability.
Let's speak to Graham in Fort William. Hi, Graham.
Hi there.
Hi, Graham. What's your take on this situation then?
Yeah, I love the programme, guys.
Thanks, my
point is, I was quite glad to see Alec go. I didn't really want his appointment in the first place. I didn't think he was he jumped ship the first time round, so I think that was not very fair, really. I would go again for Gordon Strachan. He was the guy who got the whole country behind him. All the players played for him. They came from all over the world, played for him. They wanted to be with Gordon. And we lost out. Okay, we lost out. Yeah, we lost out twice on goal difference. But Alec came in and decimated his squad. And started again. And here we are and losing to Kazakhstan. So I think Gordon would be the guy. Stevie Clark, brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. But these guys won't jump ship to go to play for Scotland.
I would say several things to you, Graham. First of all, Gordon Strachan was very unhappy with the way in which he departed the Scotland job. But I don't think he left.
Who am I saying to here? Sorry.
Hugh Evans. I don't think that he and the SFA parted on the most amicable of terms. I think also Gordon had two campaigns, both failed. And I'm not sure that you then reward him with a third attempt at it because Alec McLeish is gone. And also, Gordon has a PR problem at the moment, which I think would create a problem the SFA would rather not get immersed in. So for all of those reasons...
He's also been fairly critical since he left as well.
Yeah. I mean, he was the one who said that we're kidding ourselves on in Scotland, that there wasn't the amount of talent that we thought there was. So for all of those reasons put together... Gordon will not be approached, will not be interviewed, and will not get the job.
Yeah,
fair enough. You've got inside information I don't. Yeah, that's fair enough. But how can you? You can't possibly imagine that, like, of Jack Ross and Stevie Clark and these guys will be interested in Scotland. Derek McInnes, they've got a full time job where they are, and it's not head on with Scotland.
Yeah, but as Gordon Duncan said earlier on, though, Graham. There are, you know, Jack Ross at Sunderland. I mean, if Sunderland go up, he's sitting there on a football hotbed where it must be very exciting to be the manager of Sunderland. So I don't think he would leave Sunderland for Scotland. However, whether it's Jack Ross or Steve Clark or whoever, there comes a point where you should at least ask the question. If you don't ask, you will not know.
Yeah, for me, I think as well, Derek McInnes has taken Aberdeen, I think now, given the circumstances, given the financial backing that both Rangers and Celtic have, I think he's taken them as far as they can. He's done very, very well, Scottish Cup semi-finals and finals and won trophies. But and the same applies to Steve Clark at Kilmarnock. He's sitting third in the Premier, in the Scottish Premiership this year. I think when you think of the timing question, it suits both of those managers currently. They've taken their clubs as far as I think they can. They're also kind of neutral, if you like. You know, obviously Derek McInnes has his where he played, but he's from neither of the Old Firm. Where you look at McLeish and you look at Strachan, they've both got obvious ties to one of the Old Firm, and I don't think that's good when you consider the amount of bitterness there is in Scottish football right now. I think you need someone who's a total neutral, who comes in, who tries to inspire the nation, and who really tries to unite the Tartan Army and the whole of Scotland. And I don't think your previous, you know, your Gordon Strachans and your Alec McLeish, I think they're always come in with a previous opinion of them.
Well, I don't know about a total neutral, but last night's show finished with a Rangers fan on suggesting Neil Lennon gets the job, and we'll hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Andy Little and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Give us a call or send us a tweet. Mick is on, Hugh. He says, here's the plan. 1 hour show tonight. Get down to the pub for the Clyde SSB quiz. Lovely night for it. Is this you just warming up? You're going down to the pub quiz later on at Drygate Brewery.
I put on my very best clobber, you know. I've left a very nice jacket out there that I'll be putting on to make my public appearance. So I'm ready for you.
Good stuff. If you're coming along, we're looking forward to seeing you down there a bit later on. It will be a bit of a dash for Hugh and I, but we'll make it, and we'll hopefully have a good night. Back to the football though. Neil Lennon. Now, his name was kind of suggested last time for Scotland. It's been suggested again. Like I say, we did even have Rangers fans on last night saying they think it would be a good fit. However, he says there's no way he would consider the job. The interim Celtic manager has been linked with it, as well as the vacant Fulham job, but he's not having the Scotland one.
Last week it was all, you know, there's a string of managers in for this job, and now this week I'm being touted elsewhere. So again, it's just noise, and it has no impact on me whatsoever.
The other one you've been linked with is the Scotland job. Is international management something that...
No. I like the day-to-day stuff. I think the Scotland job should be, whether you think this is antiquated or not, a Scotland man. And there's plenty of very good candidates, you know, in line for the job. I think the decision to remove Alec was premature and seemed to be based on one result, which is scandalous from my point of view, but there are a lot of good candidates out there, and it's a prime job, I think, still.
Well, if we were unsure about Stevie Clark's intentions and we were trying to analyse his words, I think Neil Lennon made it quite clear.
Well, you only be honest. You know, if you feel no empathy with the Scotland job, then why tell lies about it? You know, he's an Irish Celtic supporter who I believe would want the Celtic job first and foremost, and that will be decided at the end of the season. And he could have a major weekend on his hands here if results go the right way.
Does that come into it then? I mean, I'm not saying he's lying there, far from it, but because of where he's at with Celtic at the moment, would it be wrong of him to even leave that Scotland door open publicly? You know, if Peter Lawwell's listening to that, or Dermot Desmond's listening, does he have to shut the door on it and say, no, I love the day-to-day stuff, as if Celtic's the one for me? Is that part of it?
I think he's been 100% truthful. He feels no empathy for the job. You know, he doesn't care who manages Scotland. He cares that Scotland get the right man, but he doesn't care enough to tell lies about it where he's concerned. He doesn't want it. So he's letting you know up front, there's no point in coming to my door because I'm not interested. I don't agree with Neil when he says that it was scandalous to get rid of Alec McLeish, and it was based on one result against Kazakhstan. Alec had 12 games and lost 7 of them.
Yeah, so, but we also did not fail to qualify. We didn't fail in a qualification campaign. If anything, we got ourselves in the best position we've been in a while with the Nations League, and we were then 2 games into the next campaign, one of which we won.
Well, the SFA,
so you can certainly see why people look at it and think that if it wasn't all down to the Kazakhstan game, it certainly carried a lot of weight.
Yeah, you know, these are watershed moments for managers. You know, down through the ages, there have been results that people simply do not recover from. And that will go down as Alec's. But in the SFA statement, which no one would read out in public, they did say that they needed someone to reinvigorate the qualification campaign. Therefore, they thought that the qualification campaign had gone flat. Now, there are many people who can reinvigorate the national team. Neil Lennon is simply letting you know that he feels no empathy towards the job whatsoever.
Does it matter about the nationality, Andy? So with your personal experience, Michael O'Neill does a great job. Is it because he's a good manager, or is it because he's Irish as well?
I think it helps. I don't think it's the be all and end all. Northern Ireland had Laurie Sanchez come in at one point, and they hadn't scored in something like 10 matches. I can't remember what it was, and he did a fairly decent job for a while. Michael O'Neill came in and just happened to be the best of both. He was a great man manager. He still is. He was, he's from Northern Ireland, and he just happened to be the best of both. I don't think it has to be, but I think I agree with you. Neil Lennon, it for me, is a day-to-day coach. He loves the hands-on. He would be bored, I think, in international management. Don't think it's for everyone. But, you know, there's definitely a part of him in that interview going, I want to be exactly where I am, and I'm going to make sure I am not considered for this job.
Martin's a Rangers fan in Bowness. Any suggestions for us, Martin?
I do. Might not be so popular between the fans and yourselves, perhaps, but I would like to see Sam Allardyce approached, and I'll tell you the reasons why. Number one, he commands respect I don't think many players would call off just simply because they'd be too scared of him, to be honest. The second reason is we have some great individual players in our team who play great for their clubs, but as soon as we kind of come together, we just seem to go flat. We don't seem to be a great footballing side, and I reckon we should just pack it in. It's not worked for God knows how long. Let's just try and be hard to beat. First and foremost, make sure we shut the back door, be hard to beat, and see what we can get. I think he'd be a great fit for those two reasons.
Well, first of all, Big Sam has signed up to do Strictly Come Dancing, so you need to get out of that contract, first of all. Also, I have respect for what he has achieved as a club manager. He was a great man for putting out fires, for saving people. His one-game tenure as England manager ended in farce. But for me, he is your personal choice, and good luck to you. But for me, he would have no empathy with the Scotland job. I've just spoken about Neil Lennon having no empathy with the job. I don't think that Sam Allardyce would either, and I don't think that he is what we need going forward. We're looking at someone who can take this job on for years and who can start to take us at least towards the corner that needs to be turned. I do not believe that would be Sam Allardyce.
The accusation, Andy, towards Alex McLeish, and listen, I accept that maybe it's an unfair one, but the accusation is that part of the problem was players weren't turning up for him. Players were retiring, players were managing injuries. Never had that in your day, Hugh, managing injuries. Oh. What type of manager stops that, Andy? Is it about having a big reputation and people then fall for that, or is it about the man management skills?
I think the man management skills are key. I think you need to, from within the group, and it's not the whole, it's not necessarily the whole country, but that helps. But you need to create and I can speak from experience because Michael O'Neill brought this to the Northern Ireland squad. I was lucky enough to be in the squad at that point when he came in, and he transformed the whole setup. Everything was professional. Everything was done properly. There was no more sort of going out and drinking the night you arrived and drinking after games. And it was more of a jolly up whenever I was first involved under Nigel Worthington. As soon as Michael O'Neill came in, he brought this level of professionalism. He was unbelievably tactically astute. He summed up games. He went through our games and he really wanted it. And he had this phrase called Club NI. And that's how we all looked at it. We were part of Club NI. It wasn't just turning up to represent your country. It was Club NI, and you wanted to be a part of this group. And they went on and obviously did so well. And I think that whatever manager comes in, and I don't know if Allardyce would do that, I think it has to be Scottish. It has to be younger. It has to be a better man manager. And they have to create a real team spirit. So I think that's the most important thing, is to get a really, really top class man manager, because the players need to want to be there. They can pull out with little strains and things, but if they really want to be there and they want to be part of this thing, that they will turn up.
Martin,
sorry Hugh for not knowing about Strictly Come Dancing. I can't say I watched it too much, but I just try to think outside the box. Not worked for a long time, and that's certainly an outside the box suggestion, and I do reckon he could do a good job. Like you say, he might not want it, but it was just a suggestion.
Yeah, and all suggestions very welcome. You've made one more suggestion than the SFA have so far, so you're in the lead there. I just don't think that Sam Allardyce, and you know, I'm being factually correct, he is signed up to do Strictly Come Dancing.
I'll be honest, I didn't know that either. Yes, so I think that says more about you than about Martin or
yes.
Are you just angling for an invite for the next season?
No, the Darcy Bustle's going now, so it's of no further interest to me. But you know, Sam's at the end of his career. That's why he's on Strictly Come Dancing. It's, you know, he's had a great time. As I say, he's been a very successful club manager. He's hauled a few clubs out of the fire. But we have to be looking for someone who has a real feel for the job, who wants to get the best out of the young players coming along to make a better tomorrow for us, because the last 21 years have been hopeless. And I just don't think that man is Sam Allardyce.
Lee Boy is on Twitter. He's singing off the same hymn sheet as you, Hugh. He's not happy that we've not heard from anyone from the Scottish FA. He says, does the SFA not have a designated spokesman? It beggars belief at times. It's like dumping your girlfriend over a text.
Yes.
He says,
yes.
That would, I mean, in your day, did you ever dump anyone by handwritten letter or you know, smoke signal?
You're going to think that I'm going temporarily insane tonight. But as soon as I heard all the fuss about Alec and how it was done, I thought of Phil Collins, who dumped a wife by text. But You know, the SFA have put themselves into this corner where people are laughing at them. They have to do something and do something quickly. If Malky Mackay, who's in the building, could have taken over on an interim basis, or Scott Gemmell, or Malky and Scott Gemmell, why didn't they do something about it in these 29 days when they've been twiddling their thumbs and trying to avoid the press?
Andy Little, ever dumped a girl by text?
No,
I sidestepped that. You keep it.
She's listening. For me, I see where Hugh's coming from, but I think that's the exact reason why they've taken 30 days, because maybe they've considered the in-house appointment and they've realised it wasn't an in-house appointment, but it was whatever you want to call it, last one. And I think what they need to do and what they are now going to do is look for someone, a permanent appointment, just in time for these two games in June.
I'll tell you what, we will look at those two options after we speak to David in Wisher. Hi, David.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Great show. David. Thank you.
Hello there. Listen, it's to Hugh Keevan. Sure. Yes. I listened to the top of the show there, right? I'm just after listening to the last caller regarding the hierarchy.
Uh-huh.
We are a laughing stock.
Yep.
They should have come out wherever the fourth floor, fifth floor, sixth floor, appointed somebody to come out and tell the Scottish people what was happening. Hmm. Alex McLeish was made appointment by friend, defender, whatever, right? The players didn't want to play for Alex McLeish. Everybody knew Alex McLeish should never have been appointed in the first place. Now, Gordon Strachan's not interested, right? The man we're looking for is Derek McInnes. Now, the SFA have been doing this for the last 30 days, as you said. I come home from work at 2 o'clock expecting the news. They've been at the front steps, they've announced a new manager or whatever. They're treating us with contempt. Now, I went to Hampden Park a couple of months ago with my grandson. And my grandfather, just like you, Hugh. And the stadium was totally empty. Absolutely empty. They were playing a friendly. And there were two young kids standing in front of us getting interviewed with the television. And one kid was asked, what do you think the result's going to be? 6-1 to Scotland. Now, the laugh in that stadium was unbelievable. Now, during the game, Alex McLeish was standing at the touchline. He didn't have it. There were no chemistry with the players. No chemistry now. I know Scotland, I know Celtic and all that. We need somebody who will carry Scotland through instead of having to go into pubs, clubs and listen to people. Look at Scotland. Scotland, no chance, no chance. Let's lift it. We're going in a different era with Scotland. We must be doing something.
Well, my disappointment over the whole business was that this is the national team. This is a toiling national football team.
And yet, Hugh, any new manager who comes in is a couple of games away from the Euros.
Yeah. But right where we stand just now, a toiling football team with a game to play against Cyprus on the 8th of June at 7:45 on a Saturday night. Hardly box office, any of that. However, if you're going to get rid of the manager, then send someone down, the president-elect, the chief executive of the SFA, send someone down, explain it all, and give people, as David said, give people the courtesy of knowing that you understand that their aggravation and their disillusionment, but speak to people.
Thank you to David in Wisher. Thanks for the call. We're going to have to leave it there because we're late for the travel, and we're going to look at one of those in-house appointments, if you like, in Scott Gemmell. He's right up there on the bookies lists. We'll look at him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Little are here, so get your calls in or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. We've got a Kilmarnock fan on the line, Hugh. I'm not sure if he's an angry Kilmarnock fan that everyone's talking about his manager maybe wanting the Scotland job. Craig, is it something that worries you?
No, I think I'm not angry at all. There's been speculation ever since Clark took the job about him taking other jobs left, right and centre, and so far he's remained with us. But I don't think he'll take the Scotland job. I think he's at a very good point in his career just now. He's just had two amazing seasons with Kilmarnock. He's taken us to where we are now, and it's unfortunate to say, but I don't think he'll be at Kilmarnock past the summer. I think the Fulham job's currently open. His family are down in London. He spent a lot of years down in London with Chelsea. There's a lot of money at Fulham. Just down into the Championship, it would be a project with him. I can kind of see him taking that job, but I don't know. When he joined Kilmarnock, everybody had an understanding that it wasn't a long-term project. He was here to kind of get himself back in the managerial scene. He's done a great job. Can't fault him at all. But I don't think Scotland... He said in his interview today, at some stage he'd like to be Scotland manager, but I just think just now it's not for him.
On the day that he was appointed the Kilmarnock manager, I remember standing in the studio and saying it was Kilmarnock's Brendan Rodgers moment, because they had got themselves a high-profile manager.
You got that one right. I'm quite happy with that.
But it also went the Brendan Rodgers way, or it could go the Brendan Rodgers way. When it no longer suited Brendan to be the Celtic manager, he left for Leicester and left mid-season. Now, Steve Clarke will wait until the end of the season, but I honestly believe that his first choice in life would be a club job down south, beginning early next August.
Craig, the accusation that you hear getting thrown around is that Stevie Clarke possibly taking Kilmarnock as far as he can. But would that be fair, or do you think he can still do more, perhaps in the shape of a trophy?
I wouldn't say he's taking us as far as we can go. Billy Bowie, the owner, he's absolutely brilliant. He's just bought up. I think there's a long way for the club to go. We're really back on the up. Obviously third in the league just now. I think we'll probably consolidate that and stay in third. Season finish the league, and that I think second's a wee bit too far away now. But I think it was unfortunate to come up against Rangers in the two cup competitions this season. Obviously put out both times. But I think that the next season, if we remain third, we get Europe. It would be interesting to see a wee European run. But I'm kind of preparing myself for Clark not to be there next season. It's looking forward to who could be the next manager. Obviously, if he does stay for next season, it's an added bonus. But in the back of my mind, I'm just starting to think Billy Bowie and the rest of the directors and shareholders would appoint as the next manager.
I love the positivity. I love that. I just feel that really Steve Clarke has taken them as far as they can go. And I think, as we've touched on with all of his own, his family down there, and if Brendan Rodgers can move at the time in which he did, in the position in which he'd brought Celtic to, for that move to England for the big money, Steve Clarke is a brave man to spend another year with Kilmarnock, having been so good for 2 years.
Thank you to Craig, Kilmarnock fan from Johnson. Now, one of the names that's getting thrown around at the moment is Scott Gemmell. He's the under-21s manager. You know where this is coming from. This is the Gareth Southgate type appointment. Uh-huh. People are looking with it. Can we think of something new? Can we think of something fresh? Well, Motherwell midfielder David Turnbull believes that's a good suggestion. He's obviously worked with him under-21 level, and Turnbull can see why people are mentioning him.
He's always been good with the boys, just... great coach, knows his stuff, and he's took me since I've been young as well, so I kind of know him well, how he likes to work in that, and obviously he's been doing really well with the 21s as well.
Is he someone that you could see taking the step up?
He's really driven, so he wants to do as well as he can. I think that he'd like to take a job, but I'm not sure. I think he's a great coach as well.
Well, a lot of what happens in football in the 21st century is about how the public perceive it to be. And the public, in a cynical country like Scotland, will say, well, who's he and what's he done? We know who his father was. He scored their best ever goal against Holland, blah, blah, blah. If Scott Gemmell was appointed, I would accept it at face value as someone who was young, fresh, and had his own ideas. And then Scott Gemmell would have to be like Alec McLeish and every other football manager. He would have to deliver results, or he'd need to get the boot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a massive gamble to go for Scott Gemmell. It's a really tough gig. As you say, Gordon, a couple of games away from making history, but at the same time, it's a really, really tough gig. And if it didn't start well, I think the amount of negativity surrounding Scottish, the SFA currently, I really think it has to be a proven manager who's on form and basically who nobody can argue with.
So having not managed at that top senior level, that's a concern for you?
Yeah, I think you have to, if you've to become an international manager. I understand he's been with the 17s, the 19s, the 21s. He's making his way up. It's a nice idea, but for me, you have to have real experience at the top level.
You know, he's 47 years old, not a baby, but I repeat, if he gets it, good luck to him. I will stand here and say I hope he does exceptionally well. He then falls into the category of every other football manager in the world. He has to deliver the results, otherwise he'll have to go as well.
All right, 01419511025. Jay's giving you a row on Twitter, Hugh. He says, tell Hugh Keevans that Big Sam's parents are both Scottish. He's half jock, so surely he'd have some empathy for the job.
Well, no, not necessarily. Again, I repeat, Big Sam is at the end of his career. He's like Harry Redknapp. He's enjoying the fruits of a career gone by. He's getting television work, and it's all very nice, and there's no pressure on him because he doesn't have to be part of the results-driven business. He just has to put his left foot in front of his right foot on Strictly Come Dancing.
I knew you were going to throw that in there again. So, he's delighted with himself for that piece of knowledge.
So I just don't think that if we are having a serious discussion about who should be the next Scotland manager, Sam Allardyce is not a serious, legitimate contender.
Now, we do have Friday night football tonight. Did you know that?
Yes.
In the Championship.
Aaron Ross County.
Archie is a Ross County fan from Dingwall. He's only 11 years old and pretty excited about tonight. Archie, are you going to get the win tonight?
Yes, definitely.
Now, of course, Archie, a win in this game pretty much seals the title for you. So if you win tonight, do you think Dundee United would crack under the pressure tomorrow?
No.
Oh, it's going to rumble on, Hugh.
Well, the thing about your team, Archie, is that they are consistent. You've got good management there, and you've travelled a long way, Archie, and I hope you really enjoy your long journey back, and I fancy you to get the points tonight.
Who's the main man for you tonight, Archie? Who's going to be the match winner?
Don Kelly.
Don Cowie, he's going
smashing
for experience.
Fella. Yes, lovely fella, Don Highlander, good Scotland player in his day as well. I think it's going to be a smashing game, and the county have done really well this season, and they deserve promotion to the top flight. And you'll enjoy yourself next season, Archie.
Archie, are you already looking forward to the Premiership next season?
Yes, can't wait.
Can you stay up this time?
Yes, definitely.
Archie's confident. The away trips to Dingwall are back on the cards, Andy. That's the
players will be gutted, I can tell you that much.
Archie loves it. He's from a nice part of the world.
You see, I've got my own problems with my own Archie. 10-year-old grandson, lives in Brighton Hove Albion supporter. So things are, you know, not great at the minute. So I've tried to explain to him that football gives you lessons in life. One of them is that with good, there will come bad. Another one is that no one is entitled to success. You have to work for your success. And then above all, I told Archie, don't forget, Chris Hooton is a defence-minded dud, and the sooner they sack him, the better.
Thanks to Archie from Dingwall on the line. Before we park this and try and move on to some of the domestic stuff, the one major name, if you like, that we haven't mentioned is David Moyes.
Yes.
Would that do it for you?
No. David Moyes, I know he has many supporters. I mean, Mark Guidi, if we get round to talking about this tomorrow, Mark Guidi's a big David Moyes supporter, and he would have him in the job tomorrow, I think. But for me, David Moyes was an exceptional, truly exceptional manager of Everton. He then took Manchester United on under impossible circumstances. Who could follow Sir Alex Ferguson? He took the job on under impossible circumstances. Sadly for David Moyes, his career graph shows a downward line. Since he left Goodison Park, his career at managerial level has gone in a downward direction. If they appoint him again and the SFA think they can get it past the supporters, good luck to them. But personally speaking, he wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah, I mean, managers are human beings, just like us all. They will be confident at times, and they won't be confident. They'll be at it, and they won't be at it. And David Moyes will be coming out of the wilderness, if you like, to a horrible, just a really horrible environment where he is under so much pressure to win that very first game at Cyprus. And that's why I keep saying I think it has to be someone who is current, who's managing right now, and who everybody can't really argue with their form.
Pundit.
With Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Will it be Andy Little or will it be Hugh Keevans warming up for tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard pub quiz, which is to come after the show. Either way, it could be you that's up against them. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025. Come on, beat the pundit and win yourself a signed ball. Be quick because the lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Little are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Now, in the first hour of the show, it was dominated by the Scotland managerial situation, Alex McLeish's departure, who should come next. If you've got thoughts on that, we will still absolutely take them. But we're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard. Now, Dave King sent that letter to the Rangers fans this week, an open letter, describing them as being within tangible reach of being the dominant force in Scottish football. We're going to tell you what Stephen Gerrard had to say on it after this.
Beat the pundit
with goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Andy Little are ready. Andy's looking particularly nervous, whereas Hugh has been over the course a few times on this. What's your record?
100%, but I'm just waiting for it to end.
Yeah. Right, one of you is going to be taking on Brian, who is in Parkhead. How are you tonight, Brian?
Hi, I'm okay, yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Enjoying the sunshine?
I have been, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, we'll try and get you a signed ball to kick about the garden in the sunshine. Head you up against Hugh Keevan's tales, it will be Andy Little. And it is, the 100% record goes on the line. Andy Little against Brian. Let me give you, Andy, some Clyde 2 in your ear, make sure you don't know what Brian is saying, and we'll get your clock ready to go. Brian, 30 seconds head to head with Andy Little. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yep.
Who is the chairman of Celtic?
Hello.
Where is tonight's match between Ross County and Ayr United being played?
Somerset Park.
Which current championship side did Alan Johnson finish his playing career with?
Dunfermline.
Who was the Scotland manager immediately before Craig Brown?
Roxburgh.
Where did Rangers sign Glenn Middleton from?
Middlesbrough.
Other than Celtic, which other Scottish team did Jock Stein play for?
Albion Rovers.
Okay, let me bring Andy back. Andy, can you hear us?
Yep.
You can, loud and clear. Let's see if you can better the effort laid down by Brian. Ready?
Yep.
Who is the chairman of Celtic?
Desmond, no.
Where is tonight's match between Ross County and Ayr United being played?
Dingwall.
Which current championship team did Alan Johnson end his playing career with?
Rangers.
No. Who was the Scotland manager immediately before Craig Brown?
Pass.
Where did Rangers sign Glenn Middleton from?
Birmingham City.
Other than Celtic, which other Scottish team did Jock Stein play for? Celtic, which Scottish team did Jock Stein play for apart from Celtic? Just guess
give
one.
Give him the ball.
Just guess one.
Oh, I knew the first two as well. Just
Brian. Brian, I have never. Shambles. It's been a long time since I saw a pundit scramble like that. Do you think you've done it?
I think I have.
Aye. The funny thing is, Hugh Keevans, Andy Little does have a 100% record. He's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if the sun got to him.
I've been out in the sun all day, and I think I've got a bit of stroke.
Let's go through them.
All I could see is that Andy was suffering. I thought, I wish I'd been doing it tonight.
You know when you do something stupid though, when you can't get back on it. That was me.
The first question: who's the chairman of Celtic?
Ian Bankier.
Is Ian Bankier? So that's a bit of a tricky one. So Brian's a Celtic fan, didn't get it either. He dived in. Second question, Andy.
Yeah, no, sure, I'm watching it.
This happened. This is 2 weeks in a row. Craig Beattie did this last week. Brian, just to paint the picture of the studio, and right in Andy Little's eye line is a 65-inch television which has Ayr United against Ross County on it, clearly at Somerset Park. He said Dingwall. So he should get stripped of the title just for that. But
that's
there we go.
That's the one that threw me.
Brian, you got it. So you go into a 1-0 lead. Which current championship side did Alan Johnson finish his playing career with? It was Queen of the South. So it's still 1-0 to you, Brian. Who was the Scotland manager immediately before Craig Brown? You were up against it in this one, Andy. It was
Andy Roxburgh.
Andy Roxburgh. Perhaps forgive you on that one. So 2-0 to Brian on the phone. Where did Rangers sign Glenn Middleton from? It was Norwich. Brian didn't get it either. It's still 2-0. And other than Celtic, which Scottish team did Jock Stein play for? It's Albion Rovers. Brian does it. 3 to Brian. And for the first time in about 5-6 years, The pundit gets zero. Andy Little, explain yourself.
Do you know what? Even if I hadn't had a meltdown after that second question, I still would have only got two. So fair play to you.
Brian, you have absolutely smashed them. The sign ball is on its way.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good man. Hugh Keevans, I can't remember it. Certainly not in my time.
Listen, I've been there.
No, you haven't, though.
No, but who is it, the name of the foreign player, and I could not get it out?
Santi Cazorla.
Yes, Santi Cazorla. I had everything, Andy. I had Santa Claus. I had everything in there. I could not get Santi Cazorla out. So I sympathise.
From memory, and I hope I'm not defaming these gentlemen, I think way back we're looking at a Willie McStay. I think, yes, there was a zero there. A Joe Miller, perhaps.
Willie McStay's wife texted him to say the only question you got right was pass.
So Andy Little, I will write your name into the Clyde One Super Scoreboard record book,
the annals of history,
as getting a zero on Beat the Pundit.
No comment. I'm done.
Let's move on. 01419511025. We'll still take your Scotland calls. It's clearly one of the biggest stories doing the rounds. But let's talk domestic stuff, because Dave King this week, he published an open letter to the Rangers fans along with the season ticket renewals. He said they are within tangible reach of becoming the dominant force in Scottish football again. As you would expect, Steven Gerrard was asked about that today, but he says he will not make the same kind of predictions. He says he's only focused on having the squad ready to compete for next year. Just before we hear from Steven Gerrard, what did you make of the initial comment, if you like?
Transparently not the case. Rangers are not within touching distance of being dominant within Scottish football. By the end of this season, they could be looking at a Celtic side with 9 successive trophies under Brendan Rodgers and Neil Lennon. So it's transparently not the case.
Well, I think obviously the chairman's well within his rights, so I have his opinion. I certainly respect and welcome his opinion. I caught up with him recently on the phone, and we had a very in-depth chat about where we are, the areas where we feel like we've progressed, the areas where I feel as if we fell short, and we had a really honest and open conversation. I'm going to be catching up with him face-to-face in the coming weeks as well. In terms of the statements, he's obviously well within his rights to say what he believes and what his opinion is. In terms of tangible Scottish dominance, for me, I don't think it's sensible for me to make any predictions. For me, the challenge is to have this squad and this team ready to compete for what's available in next season. I don't have to really look further than that. We want to finish this season as strong as we can and try and take as many points as we can, and then we want to get ourselves best prepared to have another go next year to win the next trophy that's available, and that's the League Cup.
Andy Little.
Sorry, I lost sound there as well. I think
they've
just thrown me out.
What do you make of what Steven Gerrard had to say?
Yeah, I think he's in a difficult situation, I suppose. You know, King has obviously made the statement along with the season tickets, and it's important for the club that season tickets sell. They want positive vibes around. It hasn't been a success this season, although I think there's been an awful lot of positive things around the club, and I think Steven Gerrard's maybe just trying to limit that. Not limit the expectation, but at the same time, those sorts of words put an awful lot more pressure on him. And as a manager, he wants to, he expects pressure, but you know, he's maybe just trying to dull it down a little bit.
Is that Steven Gerrard distancing himself from that type of language? Is that what we heard?
He's acknowledging the difference between a businessman and a football man. He's acknowledging Dave King's right to make a sales pitch to the supporters. He wants them to buy season tickets. He had put up the prices by 5%. And he was telling the supporters, whether he actually believes it or not, he was telling the supporters that Rangers were within tangible distance of dominating Scottish football. I have this mental image of somebody going into Steven Gerrard's office and said, the chairman's just released a letter where he says we're within tangible distance of dominating Scottish football. And Steve Gerrard saying, what? Because it's not what he needs. He needs, first of all, any tangible sign of progress, which is a trophy. And that Rangers will end this season trophyless. So Steven Gerrard didn't really need that, but he'll defend the chairman's right to say it because that's just what people in his position would do.
Now, Steven Gerrard says he does need backing in the summer because he doesn't have a magic wand to make things better. He believes they need to keep working hard and they've got a way to go before they're ready to compete for real. Here are the thoughts again of Rangers manager.
Well, I think it's very clear we do need backing. You know, I'm not a guy who's got a magic wand and all of a sudden turns Rangers into a dominant force overnight. everyone knows, and every manager will say the same thing. You do need backing from your board and your chairman, of course. That's the truth. That's a fact that we need that to happen. I've obviously read the statement, and as I say, we've had a conversation. So it is nice to hear that that backing will be there. In terms of what level, the amount and stuff, I don't think that's for the public domain. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, it was nice that he identified that there has been a lot of hard work going on. Myself, the coaching staff, the recruitment team. That never stops. I think the players deserve a lot of credit, considering where they were 12 months ago to where they are now. But the message to the players is quite clear. We need to continue to work hard and keep improving, because there's still a way to go before we're ready to compete for real.
Charlie is a Rangers fan on the line. What do you make of those comments from your manager, Charlie?
Well, I was listening on STV News. I said to the guy who takes phone calls, he sounded quite down. He's had a talk to Dave King, and I felt as if he's talked to Dave King. He says he's not talked to him, right, but I think he has. I think Dave King is turning and said to him, listen, I've given you $8 million last year. I think Dave King, the way he's becoming across, is he's maybe not prepared to give him too much more. And Gerrard, I can remember when Gerrard came up at first, I can remember him standing at the big table, and somebody asked him a question. He says, how do you think you'll do? He says, well, I'll do all right. He says, with the help of this man beside me. And the thing is, I think that I think he's been thinking he's going to get more back than he's going to get. I don't know, but if he didn't get the backing, I don't think he'll be in Scottish football much longer.
You see, there is an assumption here that you know, Rangers will spend and that they will move closer to making true the words that Dave King has put in his letter to the fans about being within tangible distance of dominating Scottish football. However, Celtic have got money that Rangers don't have, and Celtic have their own aspirations and ambitions, and money will be spent by Celtic. So they start from a standpoint where they are clearly a stronger squad, a more successful squad than Rangers, and they will add to it.
Listen, every manager wants more, though, don't they? Every manager wants more than they can get, probably. And to be fair, the Rangers board have backed Steven Gerrard before. They have publicly said, as part of this open letter, that he will be backed again. So, I mean, Charlie's reading the body language, but that's not to say we're on the money there.
No, I think Steven Gerrard was backed, certainly, at the start of this season. I think he'd be backed again. I think he was backed in January when it you know, he brought in Davis and Defoe and Kamara and a pre-contract with Jones. So I've no doubt he'll be backed. And I really believe that Rangers are probably two or three top-class players away from going and winning the league next year. I do think that, and I think when you looked at it, it's just, I think the squad has ran out of steam, and that's why Steven Gerrard knows he needs two or three top quality players, and in order to get two or three top quality players, you need your chairman to back you.
I think everyone on the show, we've got a goal actually at Somerset Park, Andy. It's not at Dingwall, it's at Somerset Park. Calvin Miller, the on-loan Celtic player, I think, with the final touch. Nicky Cadden was involved in creating it. It's Ayr United 1, Ross County 0. Poor Archie, all the way down from Dingwall, he just gave us a call. His team are 1-0 down.
Well, he's young and he knows that there are 80 minutes left for Ross County to come back. And I remember Ross County being 2 down at Firhill a few weeks ago and they won 4-2. So Archie, keep strong.
Andy, I think most of the pundits agree that if you're talking man for man, if you're talking personnel, Rangers have improved. If you're talking the games against Celtic, Rangers have improved. They've scored more, they've conceded less. There are clearly lots of areas for improvement. The question is, what does it take financially in the summer for that to be translated into points? Because that's really all that matters. The other things are indicators, but until such times as you are catching Celtic or above Celtic, it's not really that important.
Yeah, I think at the critical points of the season, this season, Celtic have done what champions do, and they've got 90. I think there was 3 games in the space of about 5 weeks where they had 90 plus minute winners. Rangers, on the other hand, have slipped up. They've had a number of last minute equalisers. Motherwell away, Aberdeen away early in the season, to name a couple. What I just think, they're 2 or 3 players away from having that quality to see them over the line in those sorts of games, and you know, if it wasn't for a nightmare March, I think there was five games in March and Rangers had lost three and drawn two or something. It's at that point of the season where I just feel like maybe the squad has slightly run out of steam. A lot of players had to play an awful lot of games, Celtic squad included, but I think the Rangers squad have just run out of steam, and that's why they need this backing.
Let's speak to Grant in Cumbernauld, who's a Rangers fan. Hi, Grant.
Hi, lads. All right?
Yeah, hi, Grant. What did you make of what Steven Gerrard had to say on the programme?
It's never a good sign when your manager's coming away with sarcastic quips of he's not got a magic wand. It wasn't. I can appreciate the King's obviously putting the sales pitch, Rangers getting the season ticket money and trying to match the sales and the money that they've got into last season to obviously take the next step and try to obviously win the league and, or most importantly, win a trophy at least. I can appreciate that we are going to need to bring in maybe a better standard of player. But it doesn't fill you with confidence when your manager's saying, "Well,
I don't think he was being sarcastic or flippant. He's been absolutely realistic, and he doesn't have a magic wand. You know, this will have to be done by players on the park. I would imagine that he will go down to Anfield sooner rather than later, and he will speak to the hierarchy at Liverpool, and he will say, "I desperately need you to let Ryan Kent stay with me at Rangers for another season because he could make the difference between success and failure for me."
And while we're at it, is there a second Ryan Kent out there that we can have?
Yes,
perhaps
exactly.
That's part of the summer plan.
Or a 6'4" Ryan Kent who can play centre back.
So he knows what's required here. And that's why I say, in his deepest subconscious, I would bet that Steven Gerrard wishes that Dave King did not put that phrase in the letter to the supporters, because it suffocates him. It suffocates the manager. He's not only supposed to deliver Rangers' first major trophy for 8 years, but the chairman's promising total domination of Scottish football.
Grant, Andy Little reckons Rangers are two or three quality players away from winning the league. Do you need more than that, less than that, that amount? What do you think?
I'd probably agree with that. Probably we need a bit more experience in the team, maybe a wee bit less naivety among some of the players. I revert to some of the mistakes, maybe like some Joe Worrall errors. There was obviously Tavernier against Celtic, but players that can sort of handle the pressure better than what we have at the moment. But I mean, as you said, Steven Gerrard's possibly going to go down to Liverpool in the summer. The only way Rangers can bring Ryan Kent back is on a loan. If Ryan Kent was coming for a Scottish club, and the chances are it would probably only be 2 or 3 million. But as it is in the silly money of the English Premier League, it would probably cost us at least 10 million to bring Ryan Kent. So definitely a loan for Ryan Kent next season. But certainly he should be one of the top targets at the very least.
Grant raises an interesting point, because next season Celtic will be going for 9 in a row. Now, I don't need to tell Andy Little, who's played for Rangers, how that cranks up the pressure on everyone at Rangers, because the Rangers fans cannot tolerate the thought of this happening. And therefore, whether you're a player who's been at Rangers this season and you're still there next season, or whether you're brought in, you're going to have a temperament of steel, because the pressure will be on Rangers, as indeed it will be on the Celtic players, every game, every one of the 38 next season. There will be no respite at all.
That's why the window will be fascinating, as always, Andy, because I assume your assertion is based on you feel, rightly or wrongly, that it will take Rangers two or three players to get to where Celtic are at the moment. We just don't know what Celtic will do in the summer, because they then might kick on and strengthen with three quality of their own. And that's why the window will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, but I think with the departure of Brendan Rodgers, they aren't quite the same animal as they were. And I think Steven Gerrard, having had one full year, one full season under, you know, as a manager under his belt, he'll have learnt an awful lot. He'll learnt an awful lot about his players. I don't see the squad changing over. I don't see the 11 changing overly much, and that's why I say the two or three. I think when you look through the midfield, especially more recently, Hearts, Motherwell, you know, a couple of 3-0 victories that they've had. It's been Davis, Jack, Arfield, Kamara, Kent coming in. Obviously, when he comes back from his two matches out, but there is experience there.
Has it got that that creative match winning ability. That's what we often get through in the phones, that lots of Rangers fans phone us and tell us that that's what they think they need.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that the pressure was off against Hearts and Motherwell, but they did. I mean, the first I was at the game, the first 30 minutes at Ibrox was probably the best Rangers performance, best 30 minutes I've seen Rangers in years. So I do think they have that creative side of their game, and just as I say, two or three top quality players will make that difference.
0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Neil Lennon on the domestic action returning, or the league action returning, and after that, Beat the Pundit, Andy Little has a chance to redeem himself on the full time teaser.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here alongside Andy Little, who spent the break signing the ball to give away on Beat the Pundit after becoming the first pundit in many years to record a zero and Beat the Pundit. He tells us, Hugh, as well, that the word is already spreading amongst the family. Yes. He's got the fan club listening. It's been spread amongst, so the good news travels fast.
Well, as I understand it, even his dog is upset with what happened to his owner. So the first pundit to ever upset his dog.
Telling you, sunstroke.
Yeah, that's your story and you're sticking to it. Right, yeah. The chance to redeem yourself on the teaser, although I can't promise that it's very easy. Graham from Cathcart sent it in, and listen to this, Hugh. If you get this right with no clues, that'll be right, Graham. I'll crack the jokes. Yeah. I'll buy you a pint on Friday night at the Super Scoreboard Quiz.
Good man, Graham.
You'll never get it with
your
clues.
Money's safe.
Now, this is a variation on a question we had recently, so it's similar, but it's not the same. Now, right up your street, Hugh, the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year. Since it started in 2001-2002, 11 players have won it whilst not playing at Rangers or Celtic. Can you name them? Now, 11 players have won the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year since 2001-2002 whilst not playing for Rangers or Celtic. Now, they may well have gone on to play for Rangers or Celtic at some point, but when they won the award, they were not at Rangers or Celtic.
Would Graham Shinney be there?
No, he's never won the Football Writers Young
David
Player of the Year.
Goodwillie?
Yes, Andy Little. Look at him, he's back. He won it in 2011 with Dundee United. I'll give you a wee clue, right, just to help you along. And this doesn't nullify the pint. One of them was actually on loan from Celtic, if we're being pedantic about it. But that's not who he played the football.
I'm not bad at this stuff. I just, that second question threw me because I was sitting watching the game on the TV.
Ryan Christie. He was on loan at Inverness. Remember, he went back to Inverness on loan from Celtic. So you've got David Goodwillie and Ryan Christie. And fair play to Andy Little, because he's proving that he's not actually that daft. He just had a bad moment.
Stuart Armstrong.
3 out of 3. Superb. Well done, Hugh Keevans. It would be nice if you would join the party at some stage.
I will, at some stage.
Alright, later. Alright, you can play along with us at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear more from Neil Lennon. We're not on the Scotland managerial front anymore. Stephen Gerrard, we just brought you his thoughts about Dave King, talking about the tangible reach of being the dominant force. Neil Lennon sidestepped that question when he was asked about it, kind of.
I would think other people can give their opinion on that. I can only speak on behalf of Celtic, and you know, since 2000, you know, I think our record domestically has been pretty good because we've got good recruitment, we've got good people, we've got good board, class board, who keep the powder dry, and we don't talk ourselves up, we just try and maintain the standards that we've kept over the last 20 years or so. You know, I work, and I have worked previously in my last spell, with high-class people, quality people, whether it be business or in football. So I've been very fortunate to have that experience as well, and give you great advice if and when it's needed.
It could be a title-winning weekend, Hugh, technically. Yeah. No one's really speaking about it because we've got various other things on our mind, but explain the scenario.
A draw between Rangers and Hearts, or a defeat for Rangers at Hearts tomorrow, would set Celtic up for a title-winning Sunday against Hibs at Easter Road. However, if Rangers win, then it will go on. Celtic would then have to beat Hibs the following day, and having done so, could then wrap up the title next weekend when they play Kilmarnock Saturday lunchtime at Celtic Park. So, potentially a title-winning weekend, but Hearts have not taken any points at all off Rangers this season. They have done so against all the other teams in the top six, but nothing against Rangers.
Now here's one. The Celtic starting 11, and many others to be fair, but Neil Lennon's only interested in Celtic. The starting 11 can often be found on social media the day before the game, but it's something Neil Lennon's not happy about and wants to change.
As manager, but I'm aware that the team does get leaked and I'm really not happy about it. So someone is letting us down.
Have you spoke to the squad about that?
No, I'm not convinced it's coming from a player.
Would you change the timing of your team selection then?
I'd like to, yeah, but I mean, it's what the players are used to. So again, I'm going back to that, not wanting to change too much too soon.
Andy, a little, what are the main ways the team gets leaked?
There's no
from
doubt.
Any dressing room.
The big thing is that some managers name their team 2 days before, 3 days before, a day before, and do shape and work on set pieces. Other managers wait until 90 minutes before kickoff, and literally, you know, 15 minutes before the public hear the team here.
What did your Rangers managers do then? Like, talk them through.
Walter Smith was always last minute, always 90 minutes. As soon as we were down in the change room, he would name the team. The only game actually that he ever, the only games that he ever named the team, or you got an idea of the team via set pieces and shape, was Old Firm or Europe. Those are the only games that you would know the team. Everything else, you waited till the last minute. But for the managers that do pick their team the day before, players, you know, that you tell your family tells a friend he's playing, and therefore you know, say if you're a striker, you know the other boy isn't playing. The team gets out, I suppose, like that. But you know, it's a thing we saw it down. I think it was the Leeds manager, was it? Maybe, you know, we've seen it a lot this season, and I know Steven Gerrard is obviously putting up a bit of a wall around the training ground, which and certainly the first team pitch. So, you know, it's part of social media, it's part of football now, and managers don't want to give that little edge to opposition.
I came in here last Sunday morning, Gordon, 10:30. Our programme didn't start till 1 o'clock. Aberdeen versus Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final.
That just gets you an insight into how early Hugh Keevans turns up for his work. But anyway,
but switched on the computer, and 2 minutes later, there was the Celtic team, complete with Johnny Hayes and Simonovic, the two surprise selections in Neil Lennon's team. And at 10:30 on a, what do you call these things? On a tweet anyway from a fan, not on the club's official online site or whatever, a tweet from a fan, and it said, leaked Celtic team. And it was bang on the money. So Neil Lennon's right to be concerned that this sort of stuff gets out.
There we are, 0141 951 1025. It's not something we speak about too often. Just quickly, any more on the teaser, Hugh? Have you got any for us before we take a call?
Take a call.
Alright, okay.
Go on, Andy.
I'm still going here. David Templeton?
No, your run comes to an end.
Liam Lindsay?
No.
John McGinn?
Like your magic dust has worn off, I'm afraid. Gus is in Calder Bank. Hi, Gus.
How are you doing there?
Good, thanks, Gus.
The deflection tactics used by Rangers over the last few years are now becoming absolutely ridiculous. With the going for 55, the Joey Barton signing, the domino pairing that was signed, Johnny Souter now in the tangible reach. We've also had the constant issue with the ticketing problems with other clubs. And we're in the exact same position for Rangers as last year. There's been vast amount of resources put into Rangers in the last 5 years, 6 years. And all we hear is this constant, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Do the playing in the football park, and do your talking in the pitch. The rest of Scottish football is getting a wee bit fed up with the whole scenario here coming out of Ibrox every week. It's another soap opera.
Well, the rest of Scottish football doesn't care. It's only the Celtic supporters who care. The rest of Scottish...
No. They've had massive problems with... I mean, now it's Kilmarnock are getting it. They had massive problems away back with Aberdeen, Dundee
and... with relation to Dave King and talking about the domination of Scottish football, the rest of Scottish football doesn't care. It's only a matter for Celtic and Rangers supporters to shout over. And, you know, yeah, I've already said on the programme, it's transparently not the case that Rangers are within tangible distance of dominating Scottish football. Transparently not the case. However, if Dave King said in his letter to the supporters to sell season tickets, look, you know the facts of the matter. Celtic have won 9 trophies in a row and you know, we're up against it here. But stick by us, will you? That's not what you call a sales gambit.
I mean, Gus, to be fair, if you are Dave King or you're Stephen Gerrard or anyone in charge, you're not really bothered with the why would you be bothered with the rest of Scottish football thinks?
I just think it's just getting tedious. I think they're actually being a bit disrespectful. Craig Levein summed up, I think it was yesterday, every time they go to play Rangers there's another story evolves. This time it's about Johnny Souter. You know, I mean, it's just every week there's something
but
else.
But to be fair, who from Rangers mentioned John Souter? Because it's press speculation, as was Willie Sanyol in the papers the other day in connection with the Celtic manager's job. Celtic didn't mention Willie Sanyol.
The fact of the matter for me, though, is season tickets will be sold at Ibrox regardless. Dave King doesn't really maybe even need to make that. What he's trying to do is create a bit of positivity because it's been a disappointing season. That, you know, they wanted silverware and they didn't get it. So he's a businessman and he's doing his job to promote the club.
Just as an aside, just because Gus brought it up, John Souter, would that be a signing that would impress you?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's got a bit about him, as they would say in the game. I think he has a bit about him. I think he can handle that pressure because for me, that's the most important thing. Can you? When you go to either of the Old Firm, can you handle the pressure? Can you perform week in, week out? And from what I've seen of him anyway, albeit, you know, I think performances against Rangers this season have been very poor, but I think he probably does have what it takes to play for either of the Old Firm.
I mean, Craig Levein was asked about it yesterday, Hugh, and he just kind of said, I don't think John would go there, and got up and left, and that was the press conference over.
Well, you know, he made one or two remarks, Craig, as he is wont to do in his vintage years. But I repeat, Rangers didn't say we're after John Souter, and Celtic didn't say we've got Willie Sanyol in the frame to replace Brendan Rodgers. We get to a stage in the season, and this is it, where speculation reaches fever pitch, and it will remain at fever pitch from now until July.
Aman is in Govan Hill. Hi, Aman.
Hello, how are you doing? Right,
what's your point tonight?
Right, my point is, I just want to ask, is it Andy Little?
It is.
Yeah. Andy Little just said that Rangers are two or three players away from possibly winning the league next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you take Ryan Kent and Morelis away, then they're going to need another two to replace the A2, so how are they going to win the league? Because there's 11 points behind already, and I've got another point for Hugh, if that's possible later on.
Andy, is that a realistic worry, because your scenario was based on adding to the current squad, but you know Kent might not stay and Morelos may well go?
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to Gerrard's pulling power in order to allow Ryan Kent to stay for another year, and I think if Alfredo Morelos stays, then you've got a proven goal scorer who's 29 goals for the season. If he goes, in my opinion, you'll have 15 million in the bank and go and spend that money and bring in the quality you need.
No, but you just said they needed another two. So if you take the two off, then you're going to get another two. So that doesn't really add much to Rangers' squad, like, you know, great players. I mean, I'm sure Celtic will add, and Celtic have got a good player just now. It shows in the league that they're 11 points ahead. So
I think the idea, man, though, is that you use that money from the Morelos sale, if it happens, which I think personally will be in the region of £15 million, to go and buy if you want me to add to it, then 3, 4 or 5 if Ryan Kent and Morelos are both out the door.
What was your point to Hugh Keevans, a man?
Well, can I just say, but they won't be the same players, because you'll never get a striker like Morelos, you know, for £3-4 million and another midfield like Kent. But anyway, my point is, Hugh, is why is Stephen Gerrard untouchable? I mean, Hugh, you said Ronnie Dyler, you couldn't wait to get him out of Celtic Park. And Alan McCoy's, nobody wanted him sacked. And now Stephen Gerrard, I think he's got just as bad record as the last two managers. But, you know, why are some Rangers managers untouchable?
He's not untouchable. If he doesn't win a trophy next season, he'll be out. He can't have another trophy this season. That's just the law of the jungle here. The next 2 years of our lives will be particularly fraught and tense.
More than usual.
Yes, more than usual. Because if Celtic get 9 in a row for a second time, the Rangers fans will be deeply upset. If Rangers stop Celtic from getting 9 in a row and therefore 10, the Celtic fans will be deeply upset. So whoever manages Celtic and Rangers, they're in for a terrible time of it. If Steven Gerrard has another trophyless season, Aman, he'll get the boot. There you are.
Big thank you to Aman in Govan Hill. Right, on the teaser, we're looking for 11 players who've won the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year, but they were not playing with Rangers or Celtic when they won it. David Goodwillie, Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Christie.
Did Gary McKay, Stephen?
Nope.
Ryan Fraser?
Nope.
Lee Griffiths?
No, actually, not oh. The writers one.
What about the Aberdeen right back?
Nope. I mean, some of these are big names. Remember, we are going back to the 2001-2 season.
Yeah.
And like I say, there are, in fact, a good few of these did go on and play for Celtic or Rangers, but just not at the time.
Scott Brown.
Yes, he won it in 07.
Kevin Thompson.
No. You're on the right lines, though. Who else would fall into that category? Brown, Thompson. Him and Gordon Strachan never really got on, never really clicked when he went to Celtic. No. Blank. He's got the same first name as the big guy you often share the studio with on a Friday night.
Derek
Reardon.
Derek Reardon, well done. Okay, we're going to take a look at some of the other big games tomorrow. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans is here, Andy Little is still here as well. And at Somerset Park, it's Ayr United 1, Ross County 0. Remember, 3 points for Ross County tonight does take them to within, well, it's more than touching distance. They've pretty much won it if they can get the 3 points tonight, but they're losing. Or are they? No, they've just equalised. How's about that for timing? So Ross County have equalised. Thanks to Brian Graham. Maybe we do have a march towards the title. We'll find out tomorrow, depending on what Dundee United do. Tonight's question. Since 2001-2002, 11 players have won the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year whilst not playing for Celtic or Rangers. So Derek Riordan won at Hibs, Scott Brown at Hibs, Goodwillie and Armstrong at Dundee United, and Ryan Christie at Inverness, albeit on loan from Celtic anymore.
Stephen Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher, no bonus points, but he's actually done it twice. Well done. Hugh.
I'm having an Andy Little.
You've got one from, you've got 2002, 3 and 4 still to get, so you're going back a bit.
I'm out of that.
You've got 2006 and you've got 2014 to get. Let's take a look at some of the other big games tomorrow. Let's speak to John first. John's a St Mirren fan on the line. Starting to get nervous, John, or confident you can avoid the drop?
A bit of both there, but by the way, see that game at Ayr United, Ross County, is that on BT Sports now?
No, it's BBC.
Oh, it's on BBC?
Yeah, the new Scotland channel, yep.
Oh, BBC Scotland, oh good, I'll watch that after this, right, okay.
Good stuff.
Anyway, no, the three biggest games in indisputably tomorrow in the Scottish Premier League are the two derbies, the Tayside Derby, St Johnstone Dundee, the Lanarkshire Derby, Hamilton Wotherwell, and we're St Mirren, that is, a fellow St Mirren there, away to playing in the notorious, much maligned plastic pitch at Livingston. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm working tomorrow, so unfortunately I'll get that game, but I'll get the most of the other games. And we're playing Dundee at the last game of the season up at Dens Park, that is St Mirren. So I hope it's all over by then, we're safe.
Oh, I'll bet you do. Hugh Keevans, John is absolutely right. The bottom of the table, yes, it could be a title winning weekend, but the bottom of the table from now on in is going to be unmissable.
Yeah, and that applies to the Championship as well as to the Premiership. But St Mirren at Livingston, the job that Gary Holt has done there for Livy, second to none. I wouldn't be overly confident about your chances, John. I think it's a live in hope exercise tomorrow.
We beat Livingston. We've played them three times so far. They turned us over twice. In fact, they were responsible for the eventual sacking of Alan Stubbs, you know. The first time we played them, they beat us quite easily.
That's right.
And then the second game was pretty disappointing. I think we went 1-0 up through at Almondvale and ended up losing 3-1. But the last game, we beat them quite well, deservedly, down at St Mirren. So I would say St Mirren have improved since then. I'll be quite confident tomorrow of getting at least a draw. Because Livingston, I know it's easy to say that they don't have a lot to play for. There's no danger of getting relegated. St Mirren have got more. The St Mirren should have more desire and hunger and so on. That, you know, there's jobs at stake here. So St Mirren should really be up for that. And they've been playing well. You know, they beat Dundee well recently. Possibly they gave Celtic a game up until the fireworks went off. Anyway, no, quietly confident.
Yeah, it certainly should be a big weekend, Andy Little. We're doing the ifs, the buts, the maybes, and all that's what you do at this time of the season. Hamilton are 7 points ahead of Dundee. So Hamilton are 10th, Dundee are 12th. If Hamilton can win the Lanarkshire Derby against Motherwell tomorrow, is that enough to at least keep them away from automatic relegation, do you think? If they're not already away from it.
Yeah, it probably will be. I think that this is the drama of the post split. This is why I am a big fan of it. I think it makes these massive games at the end of the season much more interesting. If we had a league where one team was well out of it and one team were comfortable at the top as it is now, then it wouldn't be much fun. But obviously with all the biggest rivals playing each other, six pointers, if you like, this is the joy of it. And I think it's been brilliant. The league generally this year has been at both ends has been exciting and full of drama, and I'd imagine that will continue.
John's right. Three big games at the bottom. Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson wants to give youth a chance as he prepares for next season. The Fir Park side are aiming to finish seventh, and Robinson says there are some more youngsters who deserve their chance to impress.
Where the young boys step up, you know, we've done terrific. We're when you know in contention to win the reserve league, which is great for the young squad that we've got. There's a couple of boys maybe a year 18 months away, and there's a couple right on the verge of things. You know, Jamie Semple, young David Devine, we've got James Scott, we've got Adam Livingston, we've got Barry Maguire on loan. So, you know, the future's bright. It will be a big turnaround. It will be a case of being patient again with young boys developing and making mistakes. But that's the model that we work to, and you know, I think as you say, the last five games are a good opportunity to look at certain individuals. Can't look at them all in one game, because ultimately, as you said, we want to win the football match.
If you are Hamilton, Dundee or St Mirren, are you encouraged by hearing that? Does that on paper give you a better chance of beating Motherwell and give you a better chance of survival?
I like the way that Stephen Robinson was able to rhyme off a list of young players there, because if this season has been characterised by anything at Fir Park, it's been the emergence of so many young players at the same time. And if the manager can rhyme off a number of other names we have yet to see playing in the first team at Motherwell, well, I look forward to seeing them all. And I think if he's got confidence in them, then his confidence up until now has been rewarded.
And they give us an insight into the psychology of a player. Does it matter when you, to use the phrase loosely, don't have something to play for? Will that play into the hands of those who are right at the bottom and allow them to triumph over the Motherwells and the Livingstons, who are safe but in no danger of going down?
Not for me. I think especially if Stephen Robinson's talking about playing youth, then you know there's nothing more motivation than young boys getting their debuts or getting their chance to impress. But I think if you look at that, actually, St Johnson, Motherwell, Livingston, they're all within a couple of points. But you could argue, what's the difference between 7th, 8th or 9th? It's kind of much of a muchness. But when it comes to the players, this point of the season, it's simple. You're playing for your livelihood. You're playing for contracts. Some of them will be up at the end of May. They need to perform in these last five games in order to win a contract and stay on at the club.
And of course, Kilmarnock Aberdeen is huge as well, Hugh Keevans, yeah. Because if Kelly can finish third, that would just be incredible.
You then would have to say that Steve Clark looks in line to be manager of the year for a second successive season, and yet may not beat Kilmarnock next season. Remarkable.
You're going to have to move on to the teaser, because you've still got five to get.
James McCarthy.
No. Let's think big names who ended up at Celtic or Rangers. So one of them ended up at Rangers. You probably played with him, Andy Little. So he was a promising young Scottish player, then got a big move to Rangers. If I told you the club he came from, I think you would get it. Kilmarnock.
Naismith.
Stephen Naismith, yes.
I got one.
Well done, Hughes.
All right. What about players who ended up at Celtic but started their career at Hearts?
Craig Gordon.
Craig Gordon. Right, we're going way back. The furthest back one, 2002. The club that you just heard from. Who were we talking about?
Motherwell.
Young players. Who was the first of this century? The ultimate, perhaps.
Phil O'Donnell?
No, after that.
McDonald? No.
He's just lost his job as the Scotland assistant manager.
James McFadden.
Right, 2014. He's got a long ponytail. Not many players have won this with a long ponytail.
Stevie May.
And I've saved this one for last because you, as a member of the Football Writers, Hugh, you have to be Scottish to win this award, don't you?
Yes.
The young player.
They have an international section, but
I assume it wasn't always the case, because in 2003 a young man won it at Dundee, then went on to play for Rangers, and he is certainly not Scottish when I read the name out. Dundee. I think I'll just give you it.
Initials?
ZK. That should be enough, no?
Kishnashvili.
Yes, Zurab Kishnashvili. Well done. Thank you, Hugh Keevans, and thank you to Andy Little for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. Big thank you for all your calls and tweets. Very busy show, so apologies if we didn't get through them. But we're back tomorrow with not only a 6-hour special, but an extra 15 minutes tagged on to the beginning. So we're here at 11:45. Make sure you join us. GBX Friday's up next. We're off to the pub quiz. Maybe see you there.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.